Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravarni Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarne Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Iti Namine Shivarsha Bhanavi Devi Dayataya Kripabdhaya Krishna Sambandha Vigyana Dayane Prabhave Namaha Madhuryojvala Premardhya Shri Rupa Noga Bhakti Dashi Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dinatarne Rupa Noga Virudha Pasidhanta Dhantaharne Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Atav Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Taitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. First, let us read the homage of glorification offered on the occasion of Shri Vyasa Puja in 1935 by Shri Abhay Charanaravinda Das in English. Adore ye all the happy day, blessed than heaven, sweeter than May, when he appeared at Puri, the holy place, my Lord and Master, his divine grace. O my Master, the evangelic angel, give us thy light, light up thy candle. Struggle for existence, a human race, the only hope, his divine grace. This might be difficult to translate. Misled we are all going astray. Save us, Lord, our fervent pray. Wonder thy ways to turn our face, adore thy feet, your divine grace. Forgotten Krishna, we fallen souls, paying most heavily the illusion's toll. Darkness around, all untraced, the only hope, his divine grace. Message of service thou hast brought, a healthful life has Chaitanya wrought. Unknown to all, it's full of grace, that's your gift, your divine grace. Absolute is sentient, thou hast proved. Impersonal calamity, thou hast moved. This gives us a life, a new and fresh. Worship thy feet, your divine grace. Had you not come, who had told the message of Krishna, forceful and bold? That's your right, you have the mace. Save me, a fallen, your divine grace. The line of service, as drawn by you, is pleasing and healthy like morning dew. The oldest of all, but in new dress, miracle done, your divine grace. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur appreciated this poem so much that he would often show it to visitors and to him. And he particularly appreciated this verse, part of the verse. Absolute is sentient, thou hast proved. Impersonal calamity, thou hast moved. So he appreciated this very much. I just got an email from a devotee in America telling me that in Alachua, where there's a large community of followers of Srila Prabhupada. The class had been given there. It seems that this celebration was celebrated a day earlier in America, a day earlier than we are celebrating it here. And that the devotee who gave the class had studied Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, and on the basis of that gave a class, and the devotee who wrote to me commented that probably on this day all over the world devotees are availing this work to give presentations on Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. I often just read from it on this day and on the disappearance day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It reminds me of that long period where I spent hours and hours, day after day, working on this, and what a tremendous absorption, meditation that was, and feeling in contact with this extraordinary, elevated person by meditating upon whom his Naam Gun Roop Leela, as meditating upon Krishna, upon Krishna's name, form, qualities, pastimes, and often added to that list is Parikha, his associates, that just by that meditation one feels elevated and purified and also challenged, because the great devotees in this world, their life is a challenge to us, to everyone. I mean, directly they challenge the non-devotees. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur picked up the great tradition of all great previous acharyas of challenging all wrong idea. Rupa Anuga Viruddha Apisiddhanta Dvanta Harin. He is known as the remover of the darkness of the wrong ideas which are propagated in the name of Rupa Goswami, but that are not accepted by the followers of Rupa Goswami. So he challenged everything. Nikhila Bhuvana. Yeah, actually, you can leave this on. Let me see. I should have prepared better verses. Yeah, page 184. This is a verse by Srila Sridhar. No, it's not there. Nikhila Bhuvana. That will be in volume 1. Okay, you can open that. I think it's in volume 1. Maybe I should just get my laptop. And then, anyway, open this now. So, he was heavy. Guru. He is the epitome of guru. Heavy. Heavy, heavy, heavy. Maybe in the history of the world, as we know it, this miserable little universe that we inhabit. Yeah, can you get my laptop? Oh, you got it? But I can't find things. I don't know how to use that thing. Oh, you found it? Okay, very good. You know how to find it. Anyway, I got onto another subject now. So he's very extremely heavy. That's where heavy with knowledge and very heavily pushing everyone to be Krishna conscious. He recounted that in his childhood, while residing at Bhakti Bhavan, the house constructed by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Kolkata, he had framed on the wall a verse which he would look at every day, and he vowed to go on preaching the import of this verse up till his last breath. That verse is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, spoken by Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to Uddhava. It appears in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in the Uddhava section called Uddhava Gita. Labdva sudurlabham idam bahu sambhavante. Manusham arthadam anityam apihadhira. Turnam yatetana patadanamritya yava nisriyasaya vishaya kalu sarvata syat. The meaning of which in English is having obtained this very rare human form of life. Now, whoever can understand what's being spoken is being spoken to. It means only humans can understand this. And living beings in non-human forms generally can't understand such topics. So the human form of life is especially meant for God realization. So we have attained this human form of life after many, many births. It is very valuable because only in this life, generally, can one practice Krishna consciousness, can one get free from the cycle of birth and death, can even one understand that one's suffering and should try to make a solution to that. So it's very valuable, but it's also not long-lasting. Therefore, a sober person, considering all of this, should do whatever is required, should in this life, having attained this life, should do whatever is required so as not to get born again. And one should not endeavor for sense gratification, because that is available in every species of life. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was pushing. Srila Prabhupada said that this is a pushing movement. My Guru Maharaj is pushing me, I am pushing you, referring to his disciples, and you should push others. So he was pushing. He was very strong. He was known as Acharya Kesari, an Acharya just like a lion. But why is that? Because that was his compassion. He was aghast at seeing. Aghast means shocked and shocked in a not happy way. He was aghast at seeing people wasting their life, and just practically by force, he wanted to pick them up and force their head at the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So can you get the verse? I don't know how to. How do you move it? Just show me. So I want to go back. Okay. So, the mission of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is summarized in a verse which was composed by one of his foremost disciples, Srila Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj. And I'll read that, and then I'll read Sridhar Maharaj's own translation come explanation. His own explication of the verse in English. Nikila bhuvana maya chinna vichinna katri. Vibhuda bahula mrigya mukti mahanta datri. Shithilita vidhi. Raga radha radhesha dhani. Vilasatu hridi nityam bhakti siddhanta vani. The ba in bhakti siddhanta is missing here. Want to make a note of that? So, Sridhar Maharaj's explication. With his first step, he cut to pieces the entire plane of exploitation. And with his second, he crushed the speculation of scholars of salvation and liberation. With his third, he softened Vaidhi Bhakti with a touch of divine love, Raga Marga, taking us beyond Vaikuntha. He has introduced us to the highest worship of Sri Sri Radha Govinda. With the softness of Vrindavan within and the hardness of a devastator without, he created havoc in the world by fighting with one and all. This is a very important point. His exterior was very hard. Because he was fighting, he was devastating. He wanted to destroy the whole world. Destroy the spirit of exploitation, which is the it's the main character, the essential characteristic of this world. So he wanted to destroy that. But he wasn't simply a destroyer or an anarchist, but he had an aim in mind. His aim was to soothe the whole world with the softness of Vrindavan, to make the whole world Vrindavan. Single-handedly battling against the whole world and cutting everything to pieces was his external feature. Practically, he was single-handed for many years until he took... Shortly after he took sannyas in 1918, that means he was already 44 years old. He'd been fighting, but his fight really picked up after taking sannyas, and then he had been somewhat withdrawn from the world for some time, but not fully withdrawn by any means. He'd had plenty of fights up to that time, but then he moved into the world, and he was leading the fight even after the Gauriya. After 1918, on the same day that he accepted sannyas, he founded Sri Chaitanya Mart, and shortly after that, at the request of Kunja Bihari Prabhu, if you read Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, you'll know all these personalities, somewhat, who they are. Just like if we speak of Chaitanya Leela, it's difficult to explain it or recite it to people who don't have some background of knowing, because there are so many personalities involved. The Supreme Lord is not alone. So the Acharyas, they're not alone also. So Kunja Bihari, at his imprecation, his strong request, brought him to Calcutta. Up to that point, there were several young men who regularly traveled from Calcutta, mostly to hear Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So Kunja Bihari thought, let's put him where the action is. And after he went to Calcutta, the movement started expanding. And really, the watershed for the expansion that came about, the real expansion came about after 1 year, on the appearance day of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur at the Bhaktivinoda Asam, the first preaching center in Calcutta was called Bhaktivinoda Asan. Later it was renamed as Sri Gauriya Math. So just a few days before the celebration, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told his few followers at that time, this should be celebrated in a gorgeous way. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had, of course, already passed away by that time, passed away in 1914. This should be a huge celebration, and there was no time, it was just a few days. But anyway, somehow or other they did. The devotees were thinking, how can we get it all together in such a short time? At that time, there were three householder couples staying with him at Ulta Dinghi Road, in what is now considered North Calcutta. What at that time was considered North Calcutta, now it's North Central Calcutta. The three householder couples, two of whom the males became prominent figures in his, very prominent figures. Kunjabihari was one of them. Another was Sri Jagadish Bhakti Pradeep, who later, when his wife died, he took sannyas and he became Bhakti Pradeep Tirtha Maharaj. So there are just a few householders who had jobs. Kunjabihari was a worked in a post office and Beedon Street post office, and Jagadish Bhakti Pradeep, he was a school teacher. So anyway, the order went out that we have to worship Bhaktivinoda Thakur on his appearance day with a massive festival. They had no idea how they're going to organize a festival with so big festival with so few people. They didn't have a big following, but Guru ordered, and they were serious to fulfill that. They started arranging, and one man came in who'd never come before. He heard Saraswati Thakur speak. He was impressed. He heard about the arrangements, and he offered to donate all the rice, which was 1,200 shares. A share is approximately, it was a measurement of weight that was used in Bengal, at least up until the early 1980s when I was in Bangladesh. Now it's all kilos, which it's approximately the same, a share and a kilo. Did you ever hear that? Share, poa, chatak? Yeah. You know that, huh? But no one says that anymore. It's all kilos, isn't it? There's chatak is 1/16 of a share. Poa is 1/4. Then share. And then there's mun, which is 40 shares. So it was a huge festival. Many, many people came just out of nothing. Just by the acharya's desire to worship his acharya, everything manifested as if by magic. And after that time, just things started rolling. And it always became like that. He often did that. He would just say suddenly, okay, we're going to do this. And there's no time to organize anything, but it would happen. So that can be understood that by his acharya pasana, by his worship of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, then the blessings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur descended and everything just rolled, everything moved, the Gauriya Math expanded. But still, in some ways, it might seem that he was single-handed because his intensity and his intensity in Krishna consciousness was, he communicated that to his disciples, but clearly, and all his disciples felt that he was in it was just at some level that they could worship. We all felt that about Srila Prabhupada also, when Srila Prabhupada was present. Definitely, among Srila Prabhupada's followers, there was several devotees who were considered very advanced and very senior, but and were clearly above the others. But this is how I perceived that we all perceived the movement at that time. Maybe it was different in New Vrindavan with Kirtanananda. That's possible. But at least wherever I went, the feeling was that we have our senior god brothers, and they're above us, but way, 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 way above is Srila Prabhupada. There's just no comparison. So definitely we perceive that mood in the disciples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in relationship to him. To say that he was an extraordinary personality is, of course, true. How extraordinary? Well, you can't measure. It's not measurable. That is the symptom of the definition of the infinite is that it's immeasurable. So when a person from the plane of infinity enters the plane, the finite plane, then we can't understand it. We are on the finite plane. We can't understand. All we can understand is that he's infinite, his qualities, his glories, his consciousness, his love for Krishna. It's not comprehensible by ourselves. So we can simply worship that. And by taking his association, guidance, and teachings, we can pray to enter the infinite realm for which we are meant. We are also meant to be infinite. We're not supposed to be limited by these repeated birth and death in bodies that limit our understanding, our appreciation of reality, of Krishna, that limits our love of Krishna, the mentality that causes us to take a material body, means constriction. We are meant for the infinite world. So those who come from the plane of infinity, we can, with our blinkered vision, we can see just a tiny speck of his glories. So he was certainly extraordinary. His disciples surmised that although many pure devotees may come to this world, and about them it's stated that Brahmanda Tarite Shakti Dhare Jane Jane. Every single one of them is powerful enough to deliver the whole universe. But still, even among great pure devotees, hardly one of this caliber will appear in the day of Lord Brahma. That would normally be true, but the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu means there's also the appearance of, as is stated in this song we just sung, Swarup Damodar. He's mentioned as the first, the Rup Raghunath Swarup. Practically these three are usually mentioned as the foremost acharyas in the immediately in following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in among his associates. There are various reasons for that which I won't get into now. So such tremendous personalities. Hardly one is to be seen in the day of Lord Brahma. literally from the very beginning of his life, there were indications that he was a great personality. And throughout his life, he manifested extraordinariness. His activities, his realizations, and especially his speaking. What is the most important feature of a guru? We're praising the Vaishnava guru. What's the most important? Is it the day he's born? Is it which family he appeared in? Is it the temples he established? Is it the devotees he initiated, or the number of devotees he's initiated? The most important thing is his vani that we just read. How do you get it back to life? Okay. Press this. Okay, this Sridhar Maharaj prays, Vilasetu Haridi Nityam Bhakti Siddhanta Vani. He prays, may the Vani, which can be translated as words, instruction of Bhakti Siddhanta, always spot within my heart. Bhakti Siddhanta Vani. Oh, that means specifically this person known as Bhakti Siddhanta. And the Bhakti Siddhanta, which is what he spoke, which he established. So what he says, that is the most important thing. As Srila Prabhupada often made the point, you have to understand someone that, by what they say. And of course, they have to act in accord with what they say. Someone may say many wonderful things, but they have to act in accord with that also. Acharya means one who establishes by practice and precept based on Shastra. Achinoti yashastrani achare sthapyatyapi swayam acharate yasmad acharyasthena kirtitaha. Yeah, that means by practice and precept based on Shastra, an acharya establishes what is to be established, the message of Shastra. Therefore, he's known as an acharya. And that was one of the main contentions of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that so many people were going on as gurus and as acharyas, but they weren't qualified. And they said he wasn't qualified, because he didn't appear in the right family. what he speaks, Kima Sita Sitati King Prabhasheta. How does he talk? How does a self-realized person talk? Arjuna asked Krishna. The most important thing about him is what he speaks, that he brings the message of the spiritual world, Golokavani. His speaking was extraordinary in several ways. One way was the language was so difficult. But simply to speak in a difficult manner doesn't make one an acharya. But his, it seems to us difficult, because we're not on the level of intelligence. We don't have that level of intelligence. So it may seem to us to be very difficult. His vocabulary was huge, both in Bengali and English. Sometimes he spoke with Westerners, who inevitably had a very condescending attitude. They thought, these Indians, you know, they're just not fit, they're not civilized, and we'll educate them in English, and then they can come to appreciate how exalted is our Western culture, and then they can adopt it, and then they will be improved. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, shocked whenever anyone, a Western person, came to meet him, they would be shocked, because he would speak with a vocabulary greater than many of them. In other words, they can't understand the English that he's speaking. And the ideas, the philosophy, because there's this, who is that, Lord Macaulay, one of the, said in the British Parliament that one shelf of any good library in England is worth more than all the Vedic literatures put together. So they were extremely arrogant and condescending, and they thought that in India all this... There were some who were appreciative, but they got muzzled. Some Westerners who were appreciative. But it was required for English foreign policy to think that Indians are stupid, and everything in India is stupid. So when the scholars met him, and they couldn't understand what he was saying, because his English was so difficult, and the concepts were not the vocabulary was so extensive. He used words that people didn't understand. Apotheosis, for instance. You know what that means? Considering or ascribing divinity to a human. So they couldn't understand what he was saying, and then his philosophical concepts were so high that they also couldn't follow, and they thought that this Hinduism, it's all rubbish, and they thought it was a very easy job to meet with Indians and humiliate them by saying that your religion's all rubbish. And many Indians had capitulated to such accusations, and therefore they wanted to reform Hinduism, and out of the Brahma religion was started as a separate religion, as an attempted merger of all that is best in Hinduism tempered by Christianity, without directly centering on Christ. The Ramakrishna mission was another response to attempt to modernize Hinduism under the attacks of idolatry, absurdity, etc., that the Westerners leveled at Hinduism. The Arya Samaj was another attempt, but in another way, to bring Indians to just forget all that stuff and forget what the British are saying and get back to our real roots. But they also rejected idolatry. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he didn't accept the criticisms, the standard criticisms leveled by the British and others, but rather he defended the Vedic position and established what it actually is. He was unique in that respect. Once he was on a train, in youth, he was on a train with Bhaktivinoda Thakur when a Christian priest started bringing up all these points, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur silenced him. He gave him arguments which the priest had never thought of, and he never imagined. He never imagined that there could be any defense for all these points. So, yeah, his speaking was exceptional, and his disciples, they also found it very difficult to understand. He mostly lectured and mostly spoke in Bengali. Once in South India, he was speaking in English. Naturally, he wouldn't speak Bengali in South India unless he was speaking among his disciples, who were mostly from Bengali background. Even one of his disciples, OBL Kapoor, Oud Bihari Lal Kapoor, who was initiated as Adi Keshav Das, but he hardly used that name. When he was initiated, he was told by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to learn Bengali so that he could study the Bengali writings of the Gaudiya Acharyas in the original. And for Oriya people, it's very easy to learn Bengali. It's almost the same language, although the script is, they have to learn the script if they don't know it. In the Gaudiya Math songbooks of the, in Oriya, because Gaudiya Math has many branches in Orissa, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs are published just in Oriya script. They don't give any translation. It's not required. Any more than it's needed required for Bengali. Because even the Bengali of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs and of Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's not standard Bengali in the sense that grammatically there may be some unusual words. There are a few footnotes in the Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the collection of his songs, which is published from Bhag Bazar, Sri Gaudiya Math. There are a few footnotes to explain a few points. He was in South India, in Madras, and he was speaking in English. And he seemed to be groping for words. He just couldn't find the right word. And someone suggested him, well, speak in Bengali. And he said, I'm not speaking in English or Bengali or any language of this world. You just try to hear me. fairly recently, one of his grand disciples published a series of books, collected from the old Gaudiya magazines, which are all his lectures, which had been redacted and published. So he titled that series of lectures of his, which had, as Srila Prabhupada Golok Bani, his instruction from the spiritual world. So when he would speak, his disciples knew that now, every time he would sit down to speak, there's something, we're going to get something new, something amazing that we've never heard before, because that's how he spoke. His mind was encyclopedic and panoramic. He means that he knew so much, therefore he was encyclopedic, and panoramic, which means he saw everything and took it in and processed it and understood it and spoke that, gave the Krishna conscious perspective on everything. I mean, you can't touch everything, but he would give on so many different points. Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj, Paramananda, Brahmachari name, he said that that I heard Srila Prabhupada, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, speak on numerous occasions, hundreds of occasions, and I don't remember him going over the same point. He would always make new points. Of course, there are some basic points, just like Labdhva Sudor Labam, this verse, he would repeat it again and again. But there are always fresh angles. When he spoke, either in formal lectures, or he often spoke informally also for hours. His lectures, the shortest lecture would be 2 hours. Sometimes he often spoke for 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours. And in lectures, and then he would speak with people, visitors to him, or his disciples, and he would speak. And his disciples, some of his disciples were engaged to make notes on what he said, to catch the main points and the flow, with the idea of later writing that into essays and publishing it. But then he spoke so much that there were piles of paper piling up, so that when he passed away, there were so many notes. Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj said that if all those notes were put together, that would be more than Mahabharata. That's just the notes from which those essays were to be made. Unfortunately, those notes are no longer extant. What a great loss to the world. Who could fluff them all out? If there'd been devotees engaged in doing that, it would have taken several very competent devotees could do that. It would have taken them, it would have been a lifetime service for several devotees to do that. So his speaking, that was I'm coming back to that point, it was the main feature of his existence. He wrote in his poetic envoy to his commentary on Sri Upadeshamrita, quoting Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that Hridaye Bolilo Keba Dayeta Dashera Seva Gopi Dhana Katha Kirtan. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that someone spoke in my heart that the service of Dayata Das, which is short for Varshabhanavi Dayata Das, the servant of the lover of the daughter of Rishabhanu Nandini Dayata Das. So his service is the kirtan, the glorification, the broadcasting of the katha, the words, the discussion of gopi dhan, the wealth of the gopis, which means Krishna. Krishna is the wealth of the gopis. Gopi here obviously means the gopis of Vrindavan, maidservants of Krishna. And it also means the service and the bhakti that the gopis perform. That's their wealth. Gopi dhan means Krishna, gopi paranadhana. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has described Krishna's gopi paranadhana. He is the wealth of the life of the gopis, or he is the life and the wealth of the gopis. And he's also described the wealth of the gopis as Swarasakhi Siddhi, Braja Gopi Dhan, Parama Chanchala Sati, Jogira Dhyan Nirbishesha Gyan Ekani Napaishthiti. The wealth of the Vraja Gopis is their Swarasakhi Siddhi, which means that every devotee in the perfectional stage has their own particular mood of service to Krishna, their own particular relationship with Krishna. Everyone is different. Every person is a different person. So how each individual serves Krishna, they give pleasure to Krishna in a way that is unique, because they're all everyone's different. So Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. He enjoys in unlimited ways because he enjoys interaction with unlimited number of devotees. So that swarasikhi siddhi, that means their own relishing of service to Krishna in their own particular way, that is the wealth of the gopis of Vrindavan. And that is paramachanchala. With the gopis' nature is that they are supremely unsteady. In other words, in this connection, it means that they're unpredictable. It's not stereotyped. How they please Krishna is not stereotyped. They may please him by... Also, the way Krishna pleases them is not stereotyped. He may steal their clothes. They may steal his flute. They may be angry with him. They have joking, verbal fights in which they insult each other. So nothing is stereotyped. So in this way, paramachanchala, like lightning, it's here, it's there, it's moving somewhere else. You can't predict where it's going to be next. So it's supreme, the nature of the gopis, especially the left-wing gopis, is extremely or supremely chanchala, unsteady, but it's also sati, means it's totally chaste. Even though they are so variegated and often contrary in their dealings with Krishna, but mool swabhav, the basis of all of that is their intense, total dedication to Krishna, the supreme chastity in relationship with Krishna. This Braja Gopi Dhan, this wealth of the gopis of Vrindavan, that the dhyan, the meditation of the yogis, and the knowledge of the impersonalists, that can, it just can't, it has no place, no entrance into this topic. So when one has gone beyond not only all the material topics, but even the spiritual topics, then one can come, and when one has gone even beyond Vaikuntha, Alayodhya, one has followed the path of Gopakumar up to Vrindavan, then one can come out to Bhakti Siddhanta Vani, which is Gopi Dhana Katha Kirtan. So that is the main feature of this extraordinary personality. I'll speak some more, but in the meantime, we can sing. Oh, hey, Vaishnava Thakur. Let someone else sing. I'll give my voice a rest. Do you want to sing?